Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I am CJ Liu, and today we have Ragini Michaels. Welcome, Ragini.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Ragini Michaels is the author of Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, Peaceful, No Matter What. And we are going to talk about how you navigate more towards self-love, so bring more self-love and love in your life. So in our series, we've been talking about obstacles to self-love. I want to start. So we talked about obstacles to self-love, and also we've talked about how to initiate self-love and love. And a lot of this has kind of a spiritual twist on it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does, indeed.
What is a spiritual perspective on self-love?
Well, the truly deep spiritual perspective is understanding that the first level is loving your personality, that aspect of yourself, which most people call your small self, mm-hmm. and then loving your higher self or your essential nature, your divine nature, or your essence. There are lots of different words that people use to describe these two.
Yeah, capital S.
Yeah, capital S. To describe these two dimensions that exist simultaneously. So you're trying to, when you're moving with self-love, you're trying to move through, you have to move through learning how to love your personality before you can actually get up there and learn how to love your higher self.
Right. You have to love your little S.
Well, there's a reason for that, because you can't really get to the higher level until you can step up to it, and it exists beyond duality. So you have to understand duality and make your peace with it. By that, I mean opposites. And most of us are actually pretty much unaware that opposites are really relevant mm-hmm. to our personal growth and transformation, mm-hmm. particularly if we're on a spiritual path.
So the answer to why we have to actually make peace with our little S, because what's not to love about the big S, divine self? But I get it. What you're saying is that the first step is that until we can actually be in love with our little selves, including our personality, and making peace with that, we can't move up to our higher selves. Why? Because why?
Let's put it this way. Higher self, self-love, is really the ability to unconditionally accept what is. Unconditionally. That means the love doesn't waver no matter what comes in front of it. Likened to a mirror, which reflects whatever is in front of it. It doesn't judge it. It doesn't have any thoughts about it. It doesn't shrink or make it wavy or anything else. It just reflects what's there. All right. So our love at the personality level is really not unconditional. It is very conditional. We say, I want beauty. I want connection. I want togetherness. I want depth. I want clarity. I want understanding. I want money. Mm-hmm. I want health. And when the opposites of those arise in a person's journey, which they will often on a daily basis, if we can't unconditionally accept them as part of the journey, then we're going to have a hard time getting to the place where unconditional love is something that we're free to let come through us and manifest through us.
Yes.
So our job here, our job is learning how to love the personality and the body, which means the mind and the emotions that go up and down and up and down and up and down.
Right.
And some days it's calm and some days it's tumultuous like a hurricane is coming through. So we're talking about being unflappable, right?
Right.
Just being able to be present to whatever comes like that mirror at the level where you are right now. We're mm-hmm. practicing to get to that place. And you can get there much more quickly if you become aware of the nature of opposites and how relevant it is to being able to reach unconditional acceptance of what is.
Okay, got it. So as I get it now. So here's what I'm hearing you say. And this is related to a lot of books that you read nowadays, whether it's Eckhart Tolle, I don't know mm-hmm. if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, mm-hmm. or some of the Buddhist stuff are like, let go. Or if I'm in yoga and the yoga teacher's like, let go, let go. I'm like, what are you asking me to let go? I remember the very first time, I'm like, what are you asking me to let go of? You know, my bowels? I mean, what is it? What are you trying to ask me to let go of? Right? Because it's actually now part of the common vernacular.
Yes, it is.
But we always say it, but we actually don't even know what it means. But I think it is to let go of not accepting the reality of what is, including our own inner nature.
Right.
So when we say let go of your ego, it doesn't mean to let go of it. I think it's better. We were talking about this last week. It's mm-hmm. not to let go of it, but to embrace it and accept what it is.
It's to embrace, from my perspective, what I'm trying to help people understand is that when someone says, let go, which
yes.
I heard, this actually what started my whole process, is yeah. I would sit there and say, well, would you please tell me how to do it?
Right.
Because the minute you tell me to let go, what I start to do is hold on.
Right.
I mean, there's no question about it. Somebody tells me to be kind to somebody I don't like, and the first thing, my first reaction to that is to tense up.
Right.
Well, kindness doesn't flow out of a tense, contracted mind state, right? And, you know, first of all, someone's telling me what to do, but then I wanted to know how to do it.
Yeah.
How was I supposed to, like, drop my mind? How was I supposed to let go of a thought or let go of my self-hatred?
Or attachments.
Or attachments.
Or behaviors.
How do you do it? Well, my journey has taken me to the place where I'm clear that understanding this piece, this small, tiny bit of mystical wisdom about opposites, is incredibly freeing and gives you a specific strategy. It's a very mystical-based strategy for how to let go. Mm-hmm. Because you can't really let go if you don't know what you're being asked to let go of. Right?
Right, exactly. This
and
is what I'm talking
being
about.
Asked to let go of is your polarization between opposites, saying one thing is better than the other thing. Good is better than bad. Pleasure is better than pain. Of course, they feel better.
Right.
No question.
Right.
But each part of that has something valuable to you about your life and your understanding of what your purpose and your value and your meaning is and why you're here and why you exist.
Yeah. So going back to, I think what we said in the very beginning of the segment, from a spiritual level, love and self-love is about accepting what is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what's leading up to this conversation. And it's interesting because we, in the very beginning of the year, we talked about things like fear in its many forms.
Mm-hmm. Anger, jealousy, perfectionism, greed, guilt,
and
shame.
You can listen to all those wonderful shows. It sounds like, why would I want to listen to a show on greed and shame and jealousy?
Because you want to know what to do with them.
Right, when they arise.
I mean, how do you let go of those when they're gripping your entire neurophysiology? Your brain and body are resonating with that vibration of emotion. And somebody says, well, just let go. We'll just accept that and embrace it.
Right.
Well, I'm trying to help give you a strategy for how to do that based
right.
on mystics, the
right.
mystic psychology. So.
Right. And so a lot of, by listening to, you can go back to www.firedupcj.com and, you know, type in Ragini, R-A-G-I-N-I, and you'll see all the shows that we did on anger, jealousy, fear, perfectionism, greed. And I got a lot of really wonderful feedback because we often don't spend enough time understanding what those things are. So like you said, if we don't know what it is, then it's hard for us to let it go.
Most of us are just very busy trying to get away from it. And that is what I'm talking about is the problem. If you want to eventually come to self-love, you have to be able to love whatever is there in your brain and
right.
body.
Love the anger as it arises in the moment. Accept it as is.
And don't let it overtake you.
Yes.
So it's a balance between allowing something to be and taking charge of it. It's a very fascinating paradox.
Yeah.
Which is,
and I can say as a result, personally, from us doing those episodes, one of the things that I had the hardest time with is jealousy and envy because I don't feel that often. And the other day I felt it and I was like, oh, interesting. Jealousy and envy is arising. What is happening? And it was really, unless I understood one, that it was arising and two, knowing what to do with it. It's like, okay, jealousy and envy maps to, and this is what I got from our conversation, maps to a place of not enoughness or a sense of scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
This is ultimately what you're feeling. And so until you actually can make friends with that, you're not really going to go anywhere else, right? I mean,
that's right.
Unless you can relate. What is a sense of scarcity that I'm feeling? What is a sense of not enoughness that I'm feeling? Is it a story or thought or behavior that's just part of my personality? And can I let it go?
And once you've understood, you have the answers to those questions that you just ask, envy can still arise. Envy is my constant companion. I hear it all the time in my head.
Right.
And now I recognize it, and it's just like envy. And it's like, hello.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stay. You know, it's like a guest that realizes that, you know, its time is over and it should go on its way now.
Yes,
so
exactly.
There's nothing sticking on there's nothing sticking or holding me to it like there used to be, where it used to just pull me down into despair and depression
yeah.
and judging other people and judging myself, ending up in a lovely, lovely, hideous dish of self-hatred. Which I don't recommend for anyone.
No, it's not good.
No, not good.
I go there through anger. The outcome is the same. Right? Because they're about fear and self-loathing, right?
And but it's the same thing. Thing. Like that, when you go, okay, what you answer all the questions that you've asked, you inquire into like,
what am I angry? What is anger really masking? It's about a need. What need is not being heard? This is not the need that's being heard. How can you address? But until you actually know what those emotions mean and what they mean on a deeper level, it is really hard to let them go.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Same with self-hatred. And since we're talking about self-love, it's the same questions. You know, what is it that I'm hating about myself? Where is it I feel I'm not enough? Where mm-hmm. am I not adequate? What is it that I think I need that I'm never going to get? Mm-hmm. Once you understand those questions, the answers to those questions, self-hatred will still arise, only it won't have the same way to hook you that mm-hmm. it did before because you understand it. And you also understand that self-hate and self-love at the level of personality go together like a hand and a glove. They'll, yeah. You'll meet them both again and again, not to worry. It's all right.
Right? This is like the fastest episode ever. Okay, much gratitude to you, Ragini Michaels, the author of Unflappable, 6 Steps to Staying Happy, Centered, Peaceful, No Matter What. And if you want to create a happy you and a happy planet, then find the Fired Up with CJ Show on iTunes and get a free weekly subscription. And next up, we'll be talking a little bit more about some of the invitations to self-love. We'll be right back.